Testing 1, 2. Somebody bring me a chair. I'm gonna fall. Is that Dr. Victor at the back? Hey, Mr. Vic. bless God. You know, if you tell me miracles don't happen, there's one sitting right there. Yeah. Well, praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Did you enjoy the worship?
Amen.
It was nice, wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. How many of you have had... Okay, wait. I must wait for Eddie. Sorry. Tell me, are you ready? Ready, steady, Eddie, go. Okay. How many of you have had an experience in your life? And I'm not talking about sitting in church. I'm talking about something happens in the natural, but you know God is speaking to you. It's like something happens. Okay, some people have an experience where they're in like a close car accident. Or they are in a car accident and they came to within this close of losing their life. And then it's like they have this thing, oh, you know, God is speaking to me. It's time for me to change my life. It's time for me to bring some changes into my lifestyle, etc., etc. Many times we have a situation that happens in the natural, but we know in our heart and we know in our spirit that God is actually speaking to us in a very, very clear way about our life. Let me see the hands of the people that believe that they've had some kind of an experience where you, without anybody telling you, you just knew God is talking to me. Well, praise God. I had an experience like that yesterday. I'm going to share it with you now because I do believe God is talking to you, but I believe God is also talking to all of us. I want you to show that first slide for me, please. I don't know what the resolution is going to be like. I don't know how it's going to come out. What do you see there? I'm going to tell you what you're looking at. That is my house down there. That was over my house yesterday. When I came driving up, I nearly stalled my car. I nearly rolled my car because it looked like there was fire coming down from heaven, coming down upon my house. I have never seen anything like this before in my life. I was blown away. And when I saw that, my goosebumps had goosebumps had goosebumps. And I had something stirring inside of me that God is talking to me through what I am seeing. And you know what? It is not a coincidence that this is right where my house is. It looked like the heavens. If you take a look here, it looks like the heavens have opened. Like there's a curtain that opened. And this doesn't do it justice. You must go and see on the laptop. You will see how vivid the colors really are because we're losing a lot of color here because of the projection. It looked physically like fire falling from heaven.
And it was just over your
property. It was immediately over my property. Hey, bless God. And you know what? I had this thing in my heart that God is talking to me. There's actually another one. I want you to just go to the other slide. This was what was going on in the area. That is, believe it or not, simply the sun that's busy manifesting its presence. How it managed to do what happened over my house, only God knows, because that's where the sun was setting. My house was way towards the other side. But I had that vision of, and it wasn't a vision, there was a physical manifestation of a fiery entity coming down from the heavens upon my house. But yesterday I had the feeling that God was speaking to me through what I was seeing in my surroundings. Now, some of you might know that this week I want to say not sadly, but we said goodbye to Billy Graham. We lost a wonderful man of God. I would refer to him as a general of faith. Somebody that reached countless believing, lost people and brought them over into the kingdom. And I had this feeling when I heard that he passed away, that there is a void in the spirit world. That right now, you know, sometimes even in a company, I'm not trying to compare the kingdom of God to a company, but it's a practical way of thinking about it. Sometimes in a company, you have somebody that built up that company. They have all the contacts. They have the know-how. They have the knowledge. They have the expertise. And one day, suddenly, boom, they're gone. Everybody's going to feel that loss. And you're going to have to be very careful who you put in there, because if you put the wrong person in there, the company will go down instead of going up. And when I heard this week that Billy Graham passed away, I had this feeling that now in the spirit world, there must be a massive void. Because this man carried a lot of power, carried a lot of anointing, carried a lot of authority in the spirit world. You must understand something. And this is what I think worldly people cannot understand. Billy Graham and Reinhard Bonnke are two men that can preach to literally millions of people at a time. It's not normal. Listen to me. It's not normal. Today, the people that dominate stadiums is like your rock groups. But even rock groups, with no matter how popular they are, if they're lucky, they get 100,000 people coming to listen. Even with all their notoriety, even with the fact that everybody knows them, even with the fact that they are a household name, they cannot manage to, in their own way, preach to millions of people. Now I want to ask you the question. How does Billy Graham and Reinhard Bonnke manage to preach to millions of people? I want to tell you why, because they got the best PR man in the business. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. The only reason why millions of people rock up when these guys are there to preach is because the Spirit of God is pushing people to go and listen. You see, the devil, with all of his know-how and with all of his "I'm so good and I'm so clever," can't get that many people to a rock concert. But the Holy Spirit can get that many people to a place where the truth is being preached and the truth is being ministered. And you know, this week, the whole week, I've had these things. Now and then I would think about it. I had a lot of other things on my mind as well. That's not all I focused on. But every now and then, God's been doing some really strange things in my life that I'm not going to go into right now. But these things, they go through my mind. And on Saturday, when I was coming home and I saw that, it's like something inside of me began to stir. And I do believe that right now, there is a void in the supernatural. And God is going to adjust things for things to come into place once again. Right now, there is a lot of anointing that is available. Billy Graham is not yet to use it anymore. But it is assigned to believers. And I do believe it is available. And I believe God spoke to me through... Just go back to the first slide if you can, please. That spoke to me. You know, Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, Jesus speaking, he says the following. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus spoke the same or similar words just before his ascension into heaven. He said to the disciples, wait in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. John the Baptist said, when Jesus comes, he will baptize mankind with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus said to the disciples, you can't do nothing on your own. You want to be effective for God? You want to change the world? You want to make a difference? Here's what you need. You need to be clothed with power from on high. On Saturday afternoon, at about 6 PM, I saw the fire of God come down from the heavens and light upon my house. God is talking to me about something. God is telling me that there is an outpouring of fire coming for the church because we need it right now. Amen. You must understand something. We are living in the last days. The end of the age is quickly coming. In the last days, people will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money. There will be wars. There will be quarrels. There will be earthquakes, and all of this nonsense is going to happen. And don't you think for one second that the power of God is not going to be made available to you and I, because we need it now more than what they needed it back then. You know, I take my hat off to Peter. I take my hat off to Paul. I take my hat off to James and John and whoever else, Mark and Luke. They were amazing men of God. But I want to tell you, the world is a much worse place now than it was back then. And if they needed the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to cope back then, don't you tell me that we don't need it today. Because today the world is a million times worse than what the world was when they walked. When they walked, the world was still fresh as a daisy. There was problems, but listen, yeah. The problems they had compared to the problems that we are faced with, the challenges they faced compared to the challenges we face, you cannot compare it. Yet even in their time, Jesus said, you can do nothing until the anointing comes. Now here's my question to you. If John heard, you can't do nothing without the anointing. If Peter heard, you can't do nothing without the anointing. If James heard, you can't do nothing without the anointing. In a very sort of easy society, where am I going to go without the anointing? Living in the year 2018, where the devil is really the roaring lion and his destruction is not behind the scenes anymore. It's blatantly in front of your face and nobody seems to give a hoot. Everybody's just okay with everything that's happening. My friend, I want to tell you something. You need anointing. I need anointing. And we don't just need anointing. Jesus said, there will be fire. We need the fire of God. We need an outpouring of the holy fire of God. What does the holy fire of God do? It does a couple of things. I want to tell you something. There is nothing like fire to clear rubbish. I have seen what fire does to a piece of felt. Sometimes it looks unkept, untidy, ridiculous. You let a fire go through there. In a matter of hours, the rubbish is gone. And 1 or 2 weeks later, the green grass comes up. 4 weeks later, you've got a green pasture. What would have taken a man weeks or months to do, a fire can do in a matter of an hour. Boom. Cleanses. It purifies. The Bible uses the analogy of gold. The Bible says, purchase for yourself gold that has been purified by the fire. The gold spoken of refers to faith. And faith means nothing unless the fire of God has come to purify it. You know, a lot of people in the church say, I have faith, I have faith. Well, let me help you to understand how faith works. Faith is a very difficult thing because faith means nothing in the good times. Everybody has faith in the good times. You have faith when your cupboards are full. You have faith when your petrol tank is full. You have faith when there's money to pay the bond and money to pay the expenses, etc. You have faith when you have your health. You have faith when your mental faculties are all there. You need faith when all of that stuff starts falling apart. When the money doesn't come into the bank account. It's easy to tell God, it's easy to tell the devil, it's easy to tell me how much faith you have. But remember something, you will be tested on what you said. Faith means nothing when things go well. But faith is sorely needed when things don't go well. And can I tell you what happens to people who don't have faith? When things go badly, they turn their back on God like that. Because they have no faith to carry them through. But faith also doesn't just arrive on your doorstep, knocks on your door and just comes into your life. It gets built up over years. It gets built up over circumstances. When you go through things and you remain standing. And you know, our faith starts tiny. The Bible says if we have faith as a mustard seed, we will say to the mountain, get up and throw yourself in the sea. Faith as small as a mustard seed, which is like a tiny little speck. Today I go through trials and tribulations. The devil's going to come to me and tell me it's over. It'll never get better. This is the end. What would faith do? Faith would say to the devil, shut up and foot sack. You don't know what you're talking about. The Bible's already warned me about you. Hey, I know exactly who you are. You're nothing but a bloody liar. You shut your face. You don't talk to me like that. I listen to God. I don't listen to you. You futsack, get out of my life. I'm not interested. There's the door. Go. Even though you don't know how things are going to turn out, you choose to put your foot down and say, hey, I'm not listening to that nonsense. It's the people that don't put their foot down and act in faith and keep listening to that voice that find themselves down in the pit of despair. We need faith. Getting back to what I want to talk about today. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Look at your neighbor and say, the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Ghost
and fire.
And fire.
I want you to repeat that. The Holy Ghost,
the Holy Ghost
and fire.
And fire.
You need both. Exodus chapter 30 verse 22 to 25 says the following. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and one hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. Okay. Interestingly, God had a recipe. In the old days, when they initiated a king, or they initiated a prophet, they ordained them, they would take a specific mixture of oil and spices and anoint the person, which they would take that oil and pour it all over them and rub it all over them. And that would be a sign to everybody that from today, the Spirit of God is resting upon this individual. And they have been ordained with power, with authority to operate in the things of the Spirit of God. Okay. Now, God said, I have a specific recipe for this. Don't you just go take any kind of oil and you pour it over them. This is how I want you to mix it. This was God's Old Testament recipe for the sacred anointing oil. And this oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit's anointing. In other words, His presence and enabling to do the things of God. We have myrrh, which represents purity. A heart that is willing to get rid of the rubbish inside. Listen to me. The world doesn't care too much about purity anymore. Most men want a naughty girlfriend. They want to marry a good one, but they want a naughty girlfriend, which doesn't always work so lekker. People want to do business with a guy that crooks the books. Everybody wants something dirty because it's like easier that way. For God, purity still matters. And if you say you serve God, you should serve God with the same purity. Myrrh represents purity, a heart that is willing to let go of rubbish. That is a big problem in the church today because we want to serve God, but we want to hold on to the rubbish. No, God wants you to let go. Wie van julle verstaan Afrikaans? Laat staan sulke dinge, laat staan. Okay. In Portuguese, I wouldn't even know where to start. Let it go. Das shahira. The second ingredient was cinnamon. Cinnamon represented obedience, a heart that listens to God and does what God requires, even if it costs you a price. And that's important. Because if you want to follow God, you got to give up something. I'm going to give you the story, a very, very plain story, but it'll help you to understand it. There was a man once by the name of Abraham. Abraham had a good life. Abraham was blessed. Abraham's cup was running over. His cupboards were overflowing. Abraham had everything his heart could desire. He was living with his father and he was having a good life. And then one day God rocked up at his tent and God spoke to him and God said to him, Abraham, I have something better for you. But if you want what I have for you, give up everything that you have right now. Pull up your tent pegs and follow me. For a lot of people, that's too much to ask. You know, there was a rich man that came to Jesus once and he said, Lord, Lord, what must I do to get closer to you, to be more like you, to be more useful to you, etc., etc.? Jesus said, hey, there's only one thing I want you to do. Get rid of all your riches Give it to the poor and follow me. In other words, leave your old things behind. Trust me for a new life. Abraham trusted God. He ended up richer than ever. The rich man walked away with a heart full of sadness because he thought, oh, how can Jesus expect me to give up my old life? The rich man got nothing out of the deal. Abraham got everything out of the deal. Sometimes God expects you to give up certain things, but he will bless you with better things. The next ingredient is Cain, which represents brokenness, which can be translated as a heart that responds to the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin and is willing to repent and willing to change. There's a difference between being sorry for what you did simply because it got you to be caught out. Just put it a little bit down for me because it's singing here. Thank you. Repentance means I understand I'm wrong and I want to change. Sometimes people are just sorry that they got caught, but they're not willing to repent. God doesn't want your sorry if you're not willing to change. God wants both. You must be sorry, but it must be accompanied with repentance, which means I realize I have to change my life. Okay, the next thing is the word kasia, which is another ingredient that had to go in there, and it represents humility. When you serve God, when you follow God, God wants a humble and a contrite spirit before God. There is no place in the kingdom of God for arrogance and pride. And I explained to you the other day in one of the other sermons that we spoke on, there is two different prides. To be proud of your son, to be proud of your daughter, to be proud of your wife or your husband or whatever for what they have gone through and accomplished, that's fine in the eyes of God. To be too proud to change, to be too proud to listen to this one or that one, to be too proud to take advice from somebody else, that is the pride God does not like. Okay. Together, these are the fine spices that had to be mixed with olive oil to produce what God called the sacred anointing oil. Now, back in the day, the Levites would mix this together and it would produce the fragrance that was acceptable to God. Today, things are a bit different. Today, we are the ones that provide the fragrance. How do we provide the fragrance? With our attitude and our life. If I live my life in humility, I am producing the cassia. If I live my life in obedience, I am producing the cinnamon. If I live my life in purity, I am providing the myrrh. And I provide the spice, the fragrance the Holy Spirit needs to anoint my life. Do you understand why some people will never have anointing? Because some people couldn't be bothered about God's recipe. And now you might wonder to yourself, oh, but why do I need anointing? I'm doing pretty okay on my own. No, you're not. And I'll tell you why. The Bible makes it very clear, there is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. You will never do okay on the wrong path. You will only do okay if you are on the path that God has destined for you. And without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to walk where God wants you to walk. You're not going to know what God has planned for you. You need the anointing. I need the anointing. Okay, we'll skip that. Now, I just tried to give you an idea that we all need anointing. You can't go nowhere without it. You can't do nothing without it. Getting back to the Old Testament, they used oil. Oil was used to anoint. Does oil last forever? Imagine if we, you know, back in the 60s and the 70s, everybody was like in a state of stress because there was going to be global annihilation. America was going to bomb Russia. Russia was going to bomb America and everybody was going to get wiped out. So people made bunkers everywhere. I don't know how many there are in South Africa, but I'm sure in the United States you got plenty. Imagine if you were making a vegetable garden and you're digging and suddenly you come up on this big slab of concrete and there is an iron ring. And it's like, oh, wow, this is a door. What is this? We open it up. It's a long forgotten bunker. You go in there and there's like bully beef. You know, the bully beef might still be okay. That stuff is indestructible, you know. You never know. But there's like bully beef and there's some baked beans. I wouldn't eat the baked beans. There will be explosions and it won't come from the Russians. It's going to be rough. It's going to be heavy. There's going to be some baked beans. And guess what? They had to cook, so there would be some oil. Now, it's been there since the 60s. So it's been there for like 50 years. Do you think it's still okay, or do you think there's a good chance that it's probably gone off? Well, you'll take that, you probably take out the plug or take off the lid, and that smell is immediately going to tell you, listen, yeah, something, yeah, is not like, you don't use this stuff. Okay. Now, can we come to an agreement that oil has a shelf life and that it is going to go off at some point in time? Okay. Now, the anointing back in the day was represented by oil. And the problem with oil is it doesn't last forever. Okay? You sort of use it up. Even if you were to use it for cooking. We're not talking about the miracle that was done when the widow's oil just kept going and going. For the rest of us, you buy a liter of oil. You can cook only so many times with a liter of oil. Then you gotta get new oil. Let's talk about a different type of oil. Who can I use as an example? Mr. Joao, what car do you drive? I like you already. He drives a VW. A man of taste. Okay. You drive a VW. Tell me, do you have it serviced every now and then? Why do you have it serviced? Because he wants it to be effective. He wants it to work properly. Now, for those of you that don't know, when you do a service on a car, you drain the oil. Am I right, Leonard, our resident expert? You drain the oil. Why do you drain the oil? Because the oil loses its viscosity. The word viscosity is its ability to allow to remove friction and allow things to smoothly work. Okay? Can you run a car for 100,000 kilometers on the same oil? Oh, they do it in South Africa all the time. And that's why you see them on the side of the road with the bonnet open and a lot of smoke coming out. And then they can't understand why this thing will not work. It will not work because you haven't maintained it. It will not work because you haven't given it clean, fresh oil. Many years ago, I bought a Toyota. A big mistake. Toyotas are good cars. I'm not knocking the car, but it was a big mistake buying that specific one. I bought it, and within not even 3 weeks, the car started making a noise. Knowing a bit about engines, I understood this is a bearing knock. We took the motor apart. That thing, it was horrible. I managed to get hold of the previous owner because his telephone number was written in the logbook. The guy laughed. He told me he only took the car for the first two services because they were for free. After that, he never serviced the car. The car was on 100,000 kilometers when I bought it. He serviced it up to 20,000. For 80,000 kilometers, that car, he just kept putting top-up oil. I want to tell you something. I had to throw away the engine. We couldn't even fix it. It was destroyed. Do you need to put fresh oil in? Okay, and by the way, if you're listening to this now and you're doing that, you should rather put new oil. You can't just top up. Put new. Okay. So, every kind of machinery that we think of, in order for it to work, it needs oil. You got a gate motor at home? It's got a gearbox. You open up the gearbox, there's gears. If you don't put oil there to minimize the friction, the gears are going to eat each other up. Your gate motor will maybe last for 3 or 4 months. Then you're going to hear this big noise every time you open it, and eventually the electric motor will burn out because there's too much friction. There are so many things that you use in your house. Even your microwave, there's a little motor at the bottom that turns It's greased. Grease is a type of oil. Why? Because things go smoother when you use oil. The thing is, nothing can work without oil in the first place. And then most things in life need some fresh oil at some point in time to keep it going. Now let's ask a question. What about you? What about me? Do we need some fresh oil now and then? I realize fully that you are not a car. You are not a machine. Even though your boss expects you to perform like a machine, you're not. Psalm 92, verse 10 says the following. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Did you hear that? I have been anointed with fresh oil. Now, this gets you thinking. If your car needs fresh oil, your motorbike needs fresh oil, your outboard motor for your boat needs fresh oil, the aeroplane that takes you up into the skies needs fresh oil, do we need fresh oil? Well, the psalmist just says, I needed fresh oil, and God anointed me with fresh oil. The psalmist clearly states that he has received fresh oil. You cannot state that you have been anointed with fresh oil unless you know that the old oil had to be replaced with fresh oil. Now let's talk about that. When we talk about the anointing, we're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring, the equipping of the Holy Spirit for something. There is a specific anointing for healing. There is a specific anointing for prophecy. There is a specific anointing for parenthood. There can be an anointing for administration. There can be many different types of anointings. The Bible tells us the guys that built the ark, they were skilled craftsmen, but the Spirit of God came upon them and enabled them to build the ark. There's even an anointing that can cause your hands to do things you never thought was possible. It's like mind blowing. There's even an anointing for wisdom. Solomon asked God, he wanted wisdom. Through the Holy Spirit, he gained wisdom. So that the whole world saw him as the wisest man they'd ever spoken to. Anointing is an amazing thing because it equips us to do certain things in excellence. And even things that you thought you could never do, suddenly, you can do it. All right. Getting back to the anointing. It is not inconceivable that you were in a place 30 years ago where there was a revival. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the power of God came down, things happened. And according to you now, amen, I'm anointed. I began to understand the Bible, I began to read the Bible. And so surely everything is fine now. Now here's the problem. 30 years ago you were in a certain place in your life and the anointing that came upon you was to equip you for where you were back then. Here's the interesting thing about people. We do tend to keep up with the times. Okay, some of the older people find it a bit more difficult, and I don't blame you because new technology is challenging. But very few people still drive a 30-year-old car. In South Africa, you can't buy spares for them even if you try. It's like almost impossible. So every 10 years or so, we buy a new car. Who of you still has one of those old brick Nokia phones? The 2110. You remember those things? You drop it on your toe, you go to the doctor immediately. In fact, they sold them with safety boots for in case you drop them. It's like, thing weighed like 2 kilos. Why are we not using them anymore? We're not using them anymore because, well, they're not efficient. I don't even know if they will work with the new cell phone towers. We have to keep getting new because Not only new is better, is more functional. Why don't we dress like, who can I say? Why don't we dress like the Beatles from way back in the 60s anymore? Why don't we cut our hair like that anymore? Because times have changed. Okay, I know that fashion makes a comeback every now and then. I was going to talk about bell bottoms, but I saw the other day bell bottoms are back in. It's like we're sweeping the floor, you know. Say again? Hey, stovepipes never go out of fashion, but they always. There's lots of ducktails here in the south of Joburg. Okay, I'm not in the south today, but why do we change things? Because things move on. Now, I want to teach you something about religious people. Religious people have no problem driving a newer car. Religious people have no problem wearing a different cut suit. Religious people have no problem having different hairstyles and different colors in their hair, etc., etc. Religious people have no problem updating their house to have better lighting and, you know, etc., new fancy electric gates, and etc., etc. But they don't want to move on from the anointing that they received 30 years ago. If it was good enough for my father, it's good enough for me. If it was good enough for my grandmother, then it's good enough for me. You want to tell me God doesn't keep up with the times? My friend, I need you to understand something. That is stupid thinking. Because God cannot reach this generation with the thinking of four generations back. Because then it's like a Portuguese person preaching to me when I only understand English. I'm getting nothing from it. All right, you learn Afrikaans, I will learn Portuguese. There we go. Argument settled. But what I'm trying to say, this has got nothing to do with Portuguese. This has got to do with reaching a generation. God speaks to people in a way that makes sense to people. And therefore the anointing changes all the time. Because, you know, Smith Wigglesworth was a wonderful man of God. But there was a reason why he moved in the era that he moved in. God called him to move in that era. If you bring Smith Wigglesworth back to life and you let him work today, he will probably not reach a lot of people because things have changed too much. He would have to change the way he does things, and I don't know if he can. That's why God brought him into that time. Billy Graham has left us now. Probably God took him at a good time. Because maybe his way of doing things is no longer going to touch the generations that we are dealing with right now. So what I'm trying to say to you is, we are okay to receive new things. We want newer cell phones, we want newer TVs. You know, I saw a cartoon the other day. They showed back in 1980, this massive big TV with the skinny guy sitting there watching the TV. Then they show fast forward to 2016. They show this thin little TV with this big fat oak watching it. It's like everything has changed. Say again? Yeah, the moral of the story is don't watch too much TV. But now, talking about anointing. We need a fresh anointing now and then. I don't care how you think. I'm giving you what the Bible says. The psalmist just says, Psalm 92 verse 10, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Amen. He needed a fresh anointing and the Holy Spirit gave him a fresh anointing. One of the problems we have in the church is people don't want a fresh anointing. It's like they want things to stay the way they used to be. Things cannot stay the way they used to be. It worked back then. It won't work today. I cannot buy a condenser off a 1982 Datsun 1400 and go to my brand new Nissan Navara and expect to find a place to plug it in. Doesn't even use a condenser. It uses electronic ignition. So it's no way for it to work. So it doesn't help. I get upset because things don't want to work. I have to keep up with the times. In the same way, when God wants to do something new, when God wants to reach people in a new way, we have to be willing to change. It's called adapt or die. Do you know why it's called adapt or die? Because the churches that are gone today, but were strong yesterday, refused to adapt. They died. They're gone. You will not find them. And can I tell you what you would have found? Stubborn people that wanted to hold on to old anointing. They said the old oil is fine. It's already not well. It's off. It's gone off. But it's okay. We're happy with that. No. Why do you want to be happy with that if you can get new? God will give you new. Acts chapter 4 verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Acts chapter 4 verse 31. Why is that important? Because in Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. But in Acts chapter 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit the second time. How many more times were they? Well, it's not written in the Bible. But Jesus said himself, if everything that he did was written in the Bible, there wasn't enough books available for it to be written down. But we know that there was more than one account for the disciples. And why would God anoint them a second time if he did not know there was something that was necessary for them to receive that second time? I've many times heard people argue with me that you only need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit once. If that's your thinking, I can't change you, but I think you should go and read your Bible. Because if I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1985, it was to accomplish something for 1985. But probably by 1986 or 87, a couple of things have changed and I need a fresh anointing to overcome that. New demons come into your life all the time. How are you going to conquer a demon without anointing? The Bible says it's not by might and it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Spirit is the anointing. We need fresh anointing. New challenges come into our lives. Amen? Amen. And now and then God promotes us. Do you understand about promotion? Let's talk about the army. In the army, Eddie was in the army. He's going to have to help me because I never went there. I heard stories, but I wasn't there. In the army, you start way down there. You are called a troop. Am I right? And you are like nothing. You are like lower than Snake Poofy. You know, it's like you're like way down there. Everybody walks over you. Everybody shouts at you. You just have to. There you go. But then you start doing things right, and you start falling in line. And somebody sends you on a course, and you become a corporal. You get one little stripe, and then. You're still not much, but at least now you're above the oak that's down there. You know, you can at least order a couple of oaks around. And then you get another stripe. Now you are a, what do you call it? Then you're a full corporal. And then you become a sergeant. You get taken up. You get taken up. Now, imagine if you were to take somebody that was a troop and you suddenly just put them on the level of, let's say, a colonel or something, and you expect them to lead the forces. Can they do it? No. They need to go through the motions, and they need the equipping. They need the changes that's going to take place. We're the same. Every now and then, God has to change us. Every now and then, God has to adjust us. And if we allow that to happen as time goes, we will grow in authority, we will grow in power, and we will be much more effective for the kingdom of God. It's better than staying down there for the next 30 years. Because then every devil is going to walk over you and give you a hard time. Some people make the mistake of trying to hold on to a specific anointing forever. Maybe you received a precious anointing a few years ago and now you believe that that's the way God wants you to operate for the rest of your life. Maybe you're fighting with the Holy Spirit to keep from using you in a different way. The reality is that's sad because God has new things for us to do. You know, think of Moses. Moses was a man of God. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
But how many times did God have to change Moses to become a man of God? Many times. Moses could have said to God, oh, well, you know what? This is the way I am. This is the way I want to be. I'm not interested. You want to teach me new things, but I'm not going to do this or that. You would not hear the name Moses in the Bible because God would have found somebody else. Moses allowed God to change him. Moses allowed God to work with him through anointing and changes of anointing so that he could be a leader, so that he could be effective. You and I, we are no different. Psalm 92 verse 10. But my horn you have exalted like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eyes also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit even in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Okay, this is a very powerful scripture, and I'm going to break it down for you very quickly. He starts off by saying, you have exalted my horn and you have anointed me with fresh oil. And then because of what has happened, a bunch of things are mentioned there. Let's show you what it is. The first thing that he says, because he has been anointed with fresh oil, God is going to give him exaltation or promotion. Remember, the anointing comes to equip you for new things. So when new anointing comes, promotion can come. Without the anointing, you're not equipped to do the things God wants you to do. So how are you going to get promotion? You're going to stay where you are. Psalm 92 verse 10, my horn you have exalted like that of a wild ox. The word horn comes from the Hebrew word geren, which represents strength, power, and victory. The word exalt comes from the Hebrew word fum, which means to be raised up or to be promoted. Let me see the hands of everybody in this place that reckons it's time for promotion.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Wilson, I notice everybody here that works for you raise their hands. I'm just letting you know. It has to start somewhere. Okay, you guys all, yes.
It's the panel.
It's the panel. Yeah, you're right. It's the panel. Private joke. My horn you have exalted like that of a wild ox. Fresh anointing brings with it fresh new power, new ability, and promotion to do new things. Okay. Sometimes we talk about it's time to go through a new door. Okay. We want God, oh Lord, open a new door for me. It's like, I feel stuck where I am. I've been here for a long time. I have no more challenges. Yeah. It's time for something new. Lord, open a door for me. Okay. Have you ever been confronted with a door that is stuck? And what is needed many times to get the door to be unstuck? It's simple. You don't need muscle. You know, a lot of oaks think they're very clever. They kick the door, they break a toe. That's what they do in Springs, don't they? They kick the door. They hit the door. You break the door. You still don't open it. Sometimes applying a little bit of oil on exactly the right place, boom, the door opens. Quick, quick. Why am I saying that? Because a door must be opened for you to be exalted. The door of promotion. Your screaming, your performing, your moaning, your complaining, your tantrums will not open the door, but a drop of anointing oil. And I'm speaking figuratively. Don't go home with your Q20 and anoint all your doors. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying figuratively, when God anoints your life, the door that is closed right now can open. And the anointing oil does what complaining can't. It does what moaning can't, what tantrums can't, what being stubborn can't. Anointing. The next thing that he says comes because of the anointing. He speaks of vision or revelation. Psalm 92 verse 11 says, "My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies." How many enemies have you got? Don't think of your mother-in-law now, please. It's wrong. How many enemies have you got? Okay, she doesn't even know how many she's got. That means probably quite a few. You don't know. I'm not just talking about in the physical. How many demons are in your case right now? Spirit of fear, spirit of rejection, spirit of debt, spirit of poverty, spirit of suffering, spirit of torment, spirit of restlessness, sleeplessness, insomnia, spirit of sickness, spirit of infirmity. How many enemies have you got? Quite a few. All right. He says, "My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies." When do you come to a place when the enemy is going to come down? When you get anointed. When you get anointed. Psalm 92 verse 11, "My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies." The anointing of God by the Holy Spirit changes the way we see things and allows us to begin to see things from God's perspective instead of our perspective. Have you ever had a situation where you keep doing the same mistake over and over again, and then somebody else comes with a different perspective and they say, "But this shouldn't be there, it should be there." And it's like, how did you do that? Different perspective. God's perspective on your problems is they're easy to solve. Your perspective on your problems is this is impossible. You need God's perspective. God needs to touch your eyes to show you. The anointing also allows you to have insight and discernment in what God shows you. Sometimes God shows us something and we don't know what it means. The anointing allows us. And then the last thing, because of the anointing, your enemy comes down. Everybody here needs the enemy to come down. Here's what the Lord said to himself, himself said to the church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3 verse 17. "Because you say, 'I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing,' and because you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I am counseling you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see." What was God saying to the Laodiceans? You blind. Till you don't get anointing from me and my anointing touches your eyes, you will not see what I see. How many people are there in the world today that think they're fine? But when God was to talk to them, they would get the same message as this church. You think you're fine? Let me touch your eyes and you'll see you are not fine. The Laodiceans saw one thing. Jesus saw something totally different. Their biggest problems, they had become spiritually blind. They couldn't see that they were on the wrong path. They couldn't see that they were lukewarm. Jesus says the only thing that will open their eyes again, give them wisdom, give them discernment, give them insight, and allow them to see is fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. The third thing that he says is going to come to us is sensitivity. Psalm 92 verse 11 says, "My ears have heard the doom of my assailants." My ears have heard. Fresh anointing makes your ears sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you once again. It's not what some say, it's what he says that matters. Psalm 92 verse 11, "My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my assailants." The anointing of the Holy Spirit always means problems for Satan and his demons. You know that curse in your life that stops you from going forward? It doesn't want you to get anointed because the anointing breaks the yoke. Isaiah 10 verse 27 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off from of your shoulders, and his yoke from off of your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Yeah, what the prophet Isaiah is doing is he's saying a lot of people are walking with a curse upon their life, which is like a yoke. A yoke is the thing that they used to put around the ox. It used to be like a fork in a tree, you know, when it comes up and it goes that way and that way. They would turn it upside down, like an upside down Y. They would put it over the neck of the animal. It had to be heavy because it had to be strong. It was very uncomfortable for the animal, I am sure. It probably hurt a lot, and it made it difficult for the animal to move. Well, that was the only way to plow back in the day. Today, at least they have things that sit better and that's not as heavy. But that was back then. Now he's saying that a lot of us people in the spirit world, that's how we are. We are yoked by slavery. We are yoked by debt. We are yoked by famine. We are yoked by hopelessness, despair, feelings of inadequacy, you name it. What breaks the yoke? It shall come to pass on that day that the burden will be taken off of your shoulders and the yoke from off of your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Do you know why so many people get aggravated, irritated, upset when we begin to pray for people and demons come out? It's the very demons in them that make them aggravated, because they don't want them to stay here, because the chance is the yoke will come off and then the devil loses power. And then they start fighting and performing. I need to get out of here. This is not for me. Actually, it is. It's the grace of God made available to man through the blood of Jesus, his son. Number five, do you want to hear what the fifth promise is that comes with fresh anointing? Listen to this. Press record. You know how to press record, right? You take your index finger. You don't shove it up your nose, which is where it wants to go. You put it in your right ear. You twist clockwise. Record button is on. Now it's going to work. I didn't see anybody do it, so you're probably going to forget, but try and remember. Psalm 92 verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Prosperity. What does the fresh anointing bring? Look at your neighbor and say, prosperity. There's a smile. There's a smile. The rest of you don't know what the word means. Should I explain it to you? Prosperity means things fall into place. Prosperity means you go up instead of going down. Prosperity means things work for you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, bless God. The word flourish is simply another way of saying prosper. When you say my business is flourishing, it means it's prospering. Things are going well. I can't keep up. There's too much. It means that you will be successful in that which you endeavor to do. The palm tree represents fruitfulness. Do you want the work that you do to be fruitful? You need anointing. It brings fruitfulness. The next promise is a promise of sustained life. Psalm 92 verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So one day when Georgie is like 105, he's not going to be like walking like this. He's going to be like, Diana's going to be like, oh, Rian, come pray for my husband. He's driving me mad. He will not leave me alone. And remember, I just want to put this out there, that somebody in the Bible had a baby at 90. So George looks more excited than you at this time. I've made an enemy now, eh? Yeah. Yerkes must pray for me. No, that's Diane. She's like, what? You must be crazy. Listen, yeah, I'm not prophesying, I'm joking, but it might be prophetic. I don't know. Leave it there. Okay. Anyway, sustained life. Listen to this. They shall still bear fruit at an old age. They shall be fresh. They shall be flourishing. Amen. Those who continue to receive fresh anointing will grow old, but they will grow old differently. You get some people that grow old, and they might not even be that old, but it's like they're over the hill. And if that's how you feel, I have nothing against you. I'm simply giving you what the Bible says. Anointing causes us to grow old gracefully, differently. They will not simply fade away. They will maintain production. They will continue to prosper even when they are old. And then the last thing. Psalm 92 verse 15. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. It says, yeah. Due to God's anointing upon your life, the vision, the revelation, the prosperity, and all other things that God does for you will give you endless things to testify about. You will always have a testimony to share with others. Did anybody learn something? Give the Lord a big hand, please. In short, in the days of the Bible, they believed that they needed a fresh anointing. We need it just as much now, if not more. So what are we going to pray for today? We're going to pray for fresh anointing. Amen.
Amen. Amen.